sweetheart, damn. I was thinking about that yesterday. It's like, I'm already retired. But it is great that we have a lot of things going on, a lot of things coming up, a lot of functions. And it's great to have visitors coming into town in between all that.
Yeah.
So really excited about that.
Yeah.
Really pray about those campus kids, because of course this is at the point in their life where they're determining what their future is going to be going forward.
That's right.
Where they're going to live, where they're going to go, where they're going to pursue their job, occupation, and so we really want to pray that those guys do definitely consider coming here. And so pray about that. Also, on that Labor Day weekend, it's going to be a great weekend. I was talking with Todd, and him and his wife have been so gracious to say that we can use their home and their land for the weekend and hang out with the kids. So we're going to plan some time out there to hang, and we'll put Richard and Scott on guard duty. They cannot fish in the pond. But excited about that. So we'll get more details from Todd then, and how to make everything work as far as food and everything. So it's going to be a great weekend. And a lot of kids say they just want to come. They want to spend time on the campuses. They really want to see it, see what's going on out there.
So,
excited about that. So they get a chance to spend time at JSU and Mississippi College. And it's great. We got two great hosts who can show them around, and Chris and Tevin. So, you know, we'll have them on working that weekend too. So really excited about that. Excited Miguel's coming in the next weekend.
Yeah.
Great speaker. Excited. Got a lot of energy about him and his wife. So looking forward to having those guys in there. Guys, this morning we'll be back at Mark. We're probably in the Gospel of Mark. Just kind of going through it. And I learned a lot of things in the Gospel of Mark. And I want to read a definition to you that I looked up. What I thought about in Mark verse 16, it talks about Jesus calls his first disciples. So I looked up the word calling. And it says calling is defined as a stronger inner impulse towards a particular course of action, especially when accompanied by conviction of divine influence. So just really wanted to kind of understand, you know, just what the calling is and what the calling is meant to be. But over in Mark chapter 1, verse 16, you know, it opens up, it says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother, Andrew, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Verse 17 says, come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Or some of the OLB said, and I will make you fishers of men.
Mm-hmm.
You know. First thing I want to talk about is, are you excited to be chosen? Sometimes we don't like to be called for everything. Mm-hmm. And then some of us like to be called on for everything because we study, we researched it, and I know it. Yeah. My hand is up. Call me. And when that teacher don't call me, we kind of like, why didn't you call me?
Yep.
You know, she's going to get, she and he going to get side-eyed. Why didn't you call me? And I'm going to have a conversation with them. Why didn't you call me? And you know, they always say, well, we always call you. We need to give other people a chance. And the other people who don't want to answer, like, why you call me? You know, it's just the total opposite. Like, well, why are you calling me? I didn't raise my hand. And then the teachers are like, well, you need to participate.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, we feel like I don't need it this way. I'm just here. Let me just work quietly and silently. But you know, not everybody's excited to be chosen or called. That's what I've learned in life. There's some things we're excited about. There's some things that we are not excited about. Like, if you've ever played any type of team sport or was involved in any type of team activity, you, like me, you observe what the team looks like, how it works, how it functions. Do I really want to be on that team? And so, you know, if they say, wait, you're going to be a captain and you're going to be a captain, you already in your mind saying, I don't want to be on that team.
Yep.
I don't want to be under their leadership. I want to be a part of them. And you are praying like, please don't let them pick me. It's just how we are. But if you get on the team that you consider, oh, he or she is the dream captain, they're the dream team, they work good, I'm all for it, you're all excited to be chosen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how we are. You know, we have certain stipulations about being chosen to be a part of something. You know, these guys never thought, never knew, it was never told to them that they were going to be the first disciples to be called. Now, I don't know, maybe we sometimes feel like, well, I wish I was born back then, and, you know, I could have been the first disciple called, because I've seen Peter's story, and he really wasn't all that great as being the first disciple. I think I would have been a better disciple for Jesus, you know. Look at Judas. Come on, Lord. I should have been born back then, and I could have been the first one called. I would have been a better example. That's how we are. We look at things in hindsight, think we are better for the mission.
Right.
But after you lived a little bit, you realize, I just don't know.
That's right.
I don't know. They could be there for it. I know. Hey, you know. I think I'm going to take Paul's position right now. I am the worst of sinners, you know. But Jesus is calling all of us. It just so happened these guys were called to be the first.
Yeah.
And so these guys, you call it a learning curve or a learning moment, but they had to learn a lot on the go. But if you notice here, it says, Jesus, he used their occupation to challenge them to follow him.
Yep.
He says, they were fishing. And Jesus said, okay, well, I'm going to make you fish for men. I see you already know how to fish. Guess what? We're going to take that skill that you've learned, that you've been doing all your life, and we're going to apply it to helping other men and women become disciples. And that's when we thought, man, well, Lord, you know, I went and got my education, or I worked my way up, and you know, hard knocks or whatever, and you know, I got this skill in this trade, I thought it was just for me to satisfy me. But who would ever think that the Lord would choose us according to our occupation,
right?
To our skills, our talents, to our work experience, and say, those things can be used in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Who ever think that God would view us from that perspective? Some of us may be feeling like, I don't know, I'm not really good at my occupation, Lord. You know, you don't have to call on me. You know, God takes notice of what you do in life, and he uses it to change the world. That he does. We've seen that in our movement. You know, his plan for your life is to overrule every other thing and relationships.
You know,
make you understand that God said, hey, you have some other things going on, but I'm calling you to follow me, and I'm going to take precedence over everything. Anything that you believe is important, I'm going to take a front row seat. I'm going to take a lead. And what I'm saying is important is more important than anything that you've ever done or can ever do. You know, to follow Jesus, you must give up everything and follow. Isn't that a challenging thing? Give up everything?
Yep.
Yes.
That's when the conversation begins on our part. But hold on, Jesus, what are you talking about? Give up everything. Why I got to give up this? Why I got to give up this pleasure? You know, you learn as you get older. When I was talking to one of my aunts. She's now in her 70s, and she was just sharing and laughing. But she's talking about, you know, some things that you have to give up as you get older. You know, you find out that if you are a true dairy lover, milk is going to begin to no longer be a part of your diet.
Right.
If you are a cereal, cake, bowl, cereal-eating person, guess what? Milk is going to be a part of your diet. And there are a lot of people who love dairy. That's why they started coming up with what? Rice milk.
Yeah.
We got some oat milk. We got some almond milk. We got every other kind of milk because you're like, I'm going to have some milk.
Right.
Yep.
It's hard to let go of some things. But we have to be willing to give up everything if we're going to follow Jesus.
That's right.
The call to discipleship is a noble call. What other calling in life is really noble? Think about it. What other calling in life is really noble? But this is a noble call. But here's the question for you. Is the call to follow Jesus, is the call to discipleship, is it worth it to you? Is it worth it to you? Now, if you've been around a little bit like me, live life a little bit, there's some days you begin to question, is this really worth it? There's some days you begin to question like, oh Lord, I'm tired. Well, I just don't know. Your mind gets to thinking, it gets to wondering, and before you know it, the enemy gets in there, and you get to thinking all kind of crazy stuff.
Yep.
And God's looking at you like, why are you a little loopy today? Why are you not thinking straight? But it's human to think, I've come this far in the church, and man, why? Why am I doing this? Is it worth it? Scripture says, do not grow weary or grow tired and do good. But we can.
Yeah.
Yep.
We can grow tired and do good. You know, following Jesus has its challenges. But the biggest challenge in following Jesus is remaining faithful.
Yes.
That's the biggest challenge. remaining faithful, and staying the course. That is the biggest challenge in following Jesus. Are you excited to be called to such an honorable position in life? Discipleship, it leads to faith and salvation. What else can compete with that? Picking up in verse 18, he says that once they left their nets and followed him. You know, I remember studying this and going through this. I'm like, man, what's that? Like, he just dropped everything and left. But if you do a little research in history, you find out that Jesus had some earlier dialogue with them. He had put some time with them. Turn over me to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 1. And you're going to find out Jesus actually had a little previous dialogue with them before he called them. Over Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 35, it says, the next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John has said and who had followed Jesus. He says, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother, Simon, and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas. He said, which when translated is Peter. Then it says that the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come to see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, here truly is an Israelite whom there is no deceit. Wow, what a great title to have. Mm-hmm. He says, how do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, if you believe, because I told you I saw you under the fig tree, you will see greater things than that. He then added, very truly I tell you, you will see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Back over to Mark. So now when you read the scripture, it says, immediately they dropped their nets and they followed. You really fill in the gap, but you man, he had dialogue with them before he came by their place of business, saw the vision. Hey, drop your nets, come follow me. I'll show you how to fish your men. What does that mean to us? You know, we talk about the response. Their response was immediate, but why? Because he had already built rapport with them. They had already had interaction with him. And so when the day came for him to walk by and tell them, follow me, they had no problem dropping everything. How has God known you before he sent a disciple to call you? Think about that. How has God known you before a disciple came and knocked on your door, met you at a store, met you by way of a friend, invited you at the church? How has God known you before that disciple called you? You know, Jeremiah, of course, says, Jeremiah 1:5 says, the Lord says, I knew you before you was what? Formed in your mother's womb.
That's right.
So God said, look, we're going to clear that part up first. But let's move a little further. You know, even though he then says, he made himself known to you through family. My grandma always kept a Bible on the coffee table.
That's right.
That's one of my earliest memories of being introduced to God. Now, I may not read it, but she told me this was God's word. So I remember the Bible. God was planting a seed. He planted the seed about him. Planting the seed when I was a young boy. You know, TV. I remember growing up in the 80s, long before Zoom came along, there were TV evangelists preaching the word of God.
Yep.
And whether you have a grandma and a grandpa, guess what? On Sunday morning, that TV was going to be right there. And my grandma was notorious. You were getting up on Sunday morning. You are going to church. That was not up for a discussion. That was not. But TV, God was planting the seed. Word of mouth. You know, people just talking about. Friends telling you about going to church. My aunt go to church. My mom go to church. We go to go. I got to go to church. I got to go here. Planting seeds. Planting seeds. Vacation Bible school. Yeah. Grandma, you go stay with grandma for the summer. Guess what? There's going to be some vacation Bible school.
Yeah.
She's not going to keep you in the house all the time, would they? She's sending you off somewhere. You're going to go to some vacation Bible school. God planting seeds.
Yeah.
Random conversation amongst friends. Your friends who you know who are like you, don't, there ain't not a lick of God in them, but they want to talk about God in the conversation. God got you. God with you. Amen, brother. Wearing the cross. God was always planting a seed up until that time when he was going to send a disciple to, guess what? Call you to him. Just like what Peter did, God was already being involved with them before he made the call to say, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Ain't that something? Ain't that something?
That's right.
He has been planting seeds in your life a long time. And you for the day when he will call you. Think about it.
Yep.
You think about your history growing up. So, God, conversation about God and church and everything. Calling you a long time. Praying for the day when you call. Because when he called you, he was expecting you to respond to his calling.
Yep.
That's the premise. But the question is, are you still responding this day to his call of following? Because you know, sometimes in my life, we get a little tired, we don't want to follow no more. Meaning, we don't want to obey. I just don't want to be bothered. I just don't want to do this. I don't know. I don't see the progress. I don't see things happening. Man, I'm not sure. Are you still following? But you know, God gives you encouragements along the way. You know, Chris was sharing with me about a guy who's studying the Bible with no cameras. It's just good news.
That is good news.
Sharing about lands. You know, say, I'm going to go land somewhere. He said, some things are changing in Lance's life. God is showing him some things.
Amen.
That's right. That's good news.
Yeah.
You know, Tevin. Julie was sharing with me about Tevin studying with a brother. I think Tevin, another Jamaican brother, studying with another young man. I was like, wow, that's good news.
Yeah.
I hear about all the studies that Patricia and Gloria and Julia and Tammy, all of them are in. I'm like, you know, those are signs that we are still responding.
Amen.
Amen.
Those are signs that we are still responding to God, that we're still following him.
Mm-hmm.
Even as we have to battle our own emotions.
Yep.
Our own mental doubts of day. You know, we have those fights of day, like, I just don't want to do that. We do. But our actions are clearly saying we're still responding. We're still responding to the call of God to follow him. You know, picking up in Mark 1:19-20, as we move on down, it says, when he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they followed him. Guys, the last thing we're going to talk about is leaving everything behind. That's one of the keys to discipleship, leaving everything behind. Ask yourself, what is holding you back? I'm going to read a scripture that we are very familiar with. It's over in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And it says, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. There's challenges in that itself. Because there's a lot of things I know I need to be doing daily. I just don't like to do it daily. They just it. But you have to take it up daily. I know Candace did this new adventure of her own, and she's taking more responsibility of her new adventure with this dialysis, you know. For a while, I was helping her do it on Switch, and she started saying, "Dad, let me do it. Let me work my meeting. Let me do it." I said, okay. She had a couple of mistakes along the way, you know, and of course, me, I'm like, that shouldn't happen. I'm trying to figure it out. And by the time I figured it out, I said, well, this would happen. She said, I figured it out.
All right.
She started to take responsibility, realizing that this is really her cross. I got to pick up daily, and I've got to manage this people, and I've got to take responsibility of it. And that's what it means to take up your cross daily. You've got to take responsibility and say, I've got to manage this. It requires daily attention.
Yep.
But it goes on to say, it says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone, let's just say you and I, what good is it for you and I to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit our very self? You know, if we are ashamed, you and I are ashamed of Christ in his word, the Son of Man will be ashamed of you and I when he comes in his Father's glory, who is God, our Father, our Creator, and the Father and the Holy Angels. You know, leaving everything behind, it means disconnecting with things that will become a distraction or things that would intentionally pull you away from Christ. Say they dropped all their nets and they followed Jesus. They decided to be hands-free. Because we all know, and we've all shared, you can't follow nobody dragging the net behind you. Next to the caught up in stuff. I mean, if you just try to untangle a water hose, that's just painful. That's why somebody came with the idea with the little water hose spread thing. You know, a water hose spread with wine. You know, just tangling rope, anything, just a drop cord. That's just like, if it don't come out right, aggravating. But leaving everything behind means leaving your old language.
Yep.
There's a language we care not to remember that we were too fond of, and that man, Lord, we used to use it regularly. We're like,
yep.
Gotta leave it behind. There's no place for it in the kingdom of God. Gotta leave it behind. You gotta leave old friends who want to stay stuck in the old ways, who don't want to change, who have made it clear that they want to change. You have to cut those associations off. Now, you pray for them that they will come around, but you can't spend your time with them, or you can't move forward. Old habits, and we do have old habits. Old habits are so deadly to our walk in anything. If you get a brand new job and the job says it's going to pay you a certain amount of X amount of dollars, you're going to have to cross over to a new discipline to keep that job. You're just going to have to. Old ways of thinking. But this is the way it used to be. But this is the way how we used to do it. Well, we've always did it this way. Jesus is disrupting all of that.
Yeah.
He is disrupting all of that. When we were younger, a lot of us in this room, when we were younger, we looked at the older folks as, you don't get it, this is new, you don't know nothing about this. Then God allowed Sidney to read his Bible, and God said, Sidney, there's nothing new under the sun. And Sidney, this is what this means. Yeah, it's just new to you because it's your first time encountering it.
Right.
So you think you're doing something new, but it's nothing new. And now we're in that position today. And the younger folks are like, man, you really don't get it. We're like, whatever. And it's not new. But if it makes you happy to think like it's new, I'm just going to go ahead and indulge you and let you have your moment. That's what the older generation used to do with me. You know, we have to realize, as God said in the Bible, look, I am doing something new. We have to realize that. But only to embrace God's word when he says he's doing something new, we have to abandon our old thinking. He's always changing. We've got to move forward hands free.
Yep.
Amen.
We have to move forward hands free. If you're going to be a disciple and you're going to follow God, you have to move forward hands free, and you have to allow God to be the governing force in your life.
Yep.
It cannot be two chiefs in the kingdom of God. It just can't. We're going to have to know our role, embrace our role, and let Jesus do the leading. Because Jesus is calling God, who is the Creator, and God has assigned Jesus to be our King and our Lord. Therefore, we are subjugated to Jesus, and therefore we need to follow Him. And if we're going to follow Jesus, we need to do it hands-free so that it will lead us to faith and salvation, and so that we will taste the victory of success and what it means to be a disciple.
Yes.
Jesus says, come follow me. Will you follow? Will you follow every day? Will you have the attitude of Peter then? Will you drop everything immediately? Because God has already planted the seeds throughout your life to let you know that He was looking for you. God has already sent that disciple to call you, and you responded. Will you respond daily? Will you respond consistently? And will you no longer delay in following Jesus? Let's answer the call. Let's be excited about the call. Let's embrace the call. Let's accept the call. And let's move forward with Jesus' hands free. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you guys so much. It was crazy.